This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taryn's update for Survivor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Survivor Stock Watch Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am here today to bring you all the smarts.
Now comes the smarts.
As we talk about episode 2 of Survivor 42, and with me to do it is Asia. How are you doing, Asia?
Hello, Taryn. I am doing wonderful. I'm just reeling from this, just having Survivor back. I know it's only been a couple of months, but I enjoyed this episode. I felt, very happy watching it. So, you know, from all the people, I think it's just because I love the people so much, but I'm just excited to be here to talk about it.
It's a very good episode. It's a very good cast, and it feels like things are going well so far. The episode breezed by for me. I really enjoyed it, but we are here on this new sort of version of the Stock Watch podcast, where we will just briefly touch on some highlights from the episode before we dive right into rating / ranking the players based on how well we think they are doing in the game. We have a little bit more information this week than we did last week, so it should be interesting to see where things go. Again, I thought this was a very fun episode. We got to see sort of the aftermath of the Ika vote, where Tori was like, at first I thought she felt bad for Zach, but then it was like, yeah, no. Like, no, I just wished that I was him and that I was getting to eat. Like, not what I expected.
No, not at all. I was totally thinking she was like, oh, we bonded so much. I really hated to see him go. Like, I didn't want him to have to go through that. And it was, no, she wanted comfort and food, and she was envious. So I was like, girl, you should have said that before the vote.
It was weird. I really liked the segment with High, where they found a crab. And they were eating the crab, and they kept cutting to High, who was looking unhappy. I was like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Why is High unhappy? And he explains he's a vegan. But on this season of Survivor, they don't get rice.
Yeah.
So they have to like forage for their own food to some degree. And that means, you know, like fish or crabs or maybe chickens in the future. That's the obvious one, but that doesn't vibe with his own personal philosophy on eating any kind of meat. And he's really struggling with this. And I thought it was so interesting to see somebody, trying to figure out how this fits into their values and, you know, ultimately makes a call that, you know what, in order to like thrive out here, I'm going to need enough sustenance to sustain myself. And, but I'm going to feel really guilty about it. And I don't know how I'm going to feel about myself after.
it has never dawned on me that them eliminating rice in the beginning would affect mm-hmm. someone who is vegan. I thought that I really appreciated him calling that out, because that just, I mean, brand new perspective. So it was tough because it's just like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And literally everything they catch, even, you know, later in the episode, getting fishing gear, that's not to go get like, can people even eat coral reefs? I have no idea. But that's not to go, you know, that's not to go get, you know,
take a big old bite of that reef.
Right? It's not to go get anything like that. It's to get animals. And so, mm-hmm. you know, with him feeling good but guilty, I thought that was, you know, just a huge moral dilemma that you don't typically see. I mean, you hear people, you know, they lie, they steal, they cheat. They obviously don't do that in their real lives, hopefully. But this was a different type of moral dilemma. And so I really appreciated Survivor for calling it out.
Yes. And we also got some more from, I believe it's pronounced Omer. Yes. What I was hearing them pronounce it as. Mm-hmm. And he talks about being Muslim. And I thought this was another, like, again, just like great representation here. I loved the way, like, this tribe and Jonathan in particular, we'll talk about Jonathan, but like, not what I expected at all.
I came into this season totally, especially after the draft, I was totally expecting to just be like, ugh, about Jonathan. I don't know. I just thought, and I'm so glad I'm not. Like, this man is a pleasant surprise. I just, like, in the most unexpected way, just the way that he's just bonding with Omer, and then just how he feels about Marianne, and just how he, you know, I have a connection with everyone except for one person. So let me try to make that happen. I just feel like he is stronger in the social element than I ever would have given him credit for.
Yes. And so I just thought this was a really nice segment with Omer talking about being Muslim and, you know, being a 30-year-old virgin and all of that. Doesn't want to be a 40-year-old virgin. Right. And this really felt like a kind of, you know, like a big episode for Omer. I feel like
it's
definitely good stuff from him here.
Yeah, that's what kind of made me nervous. I was like, we're finding out too much about him. But he hasn't had a taste of alcohol. But mm-hmm. I thought it was so touching that Marianne made Omer like a mat, basically. Mm-hmm. I thought she was just working on, I guess I missed the part where she was saying, I can make you something, and mm-hmm. just tied the, what do you call it? The leaves together.
The palm fronds.
Yes. That was just so sweet.
Yeah. I mean, that's Marianne.
Yeah.
We cut over, we got some stuff from Ika, and this is what I really liked about the episode. I felt like we got some strategic content from each tribe. The least amount of strategic content from Vati, the green tribe. But even then, we got some great stuff from them. But we got from Ika that Drea, who had an alliance with Romeo and Rox, that she wanted options. She wanted to go and get the women together. So she approaches Tori and Swathi about a women's alliance, tells them about her extra vote. Tori's response to Drea being like, I want the women to work together, is like, you don't think I've thought of that already?
That was the worst response. It's like, why are you trying to call her out? Why are you coming on the defense? Like, she's late to the party. Women already working together. Where you been? Like, what is that?
But Swathi thinks that Drea is too big a threat, that she is too good at pulling people in. She's also got this extra vote. And so she actually wants to take Drea out. I think that there's probably more room to talk about this in the ratings, but I thought this was very interesting. And I think we have to like go out of our way to theorize exactly what's happening here, because I definitely don't think we're getting the whole story.
Yeah. Initially I totally was like, Swathi, what the heck? But then I was just like, no, Drea, what the heck? Why would you, You said you want options, not I'm picking the women over the men. You're picking the women by telling them about this vote, not, oh, I'm going to have some options because they're both going to think I'm loyal. No, now they have something on you and you had not built up any. That's what. Yeah, we probably are missing something for her to feel comfortable enough to go there, because that's not the type of thing you just say, well, I'm going to use this to gain some trust or build trust there. It was too much.
Yeah. Over on Vati, Mike finds an idol. Where does he find it?
It was on the side of the road.
It was on the side of the road.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
It was on the side of the road.
What does it look like?
It's exactly what the idol looks like you see on TV.
Exactly what it looks on TV. What else did you expect it to look like?
Yeah. He finds out, he tells Jenny about it. And at first I was like, okay, this makes exact sense, right? Like, this is the person that you would expect him to tell about it, because they were positioned as a duo in the first episode. He also finds out that the phrase that he will need to say, which is,
there is such grace in a game of soccer. It makes me cry.
And this is a ridiculous phrase, obviously, but by far the least ridiculous of all the phrases that, like, as confused as a goat on AstroTurf, broccoli is just small trees. And I truly believe that butterfly is a dead relative of saying hi. Saying
there is such grace in a game of soccer. It makes me cry.
That's weird, but acceptable in comparison to those other, but Mike is not having it because he doesn't even think that soccer is a sport.
I was blown away. He thought he told his football team this, like, it's a strong belief. So he's like, that's like people that don't think like cheerleaders are athletes. It's like, oh no, have you seen people train for that? Think again. But no. I thought it was so funny that, you know, yeah, that this is his stance, but it's such an easy way to, like, this phrase, easy. You're on the mat. You see maybe a ball or a field of some sort. You're like, hey, Jeff, I'm excited for this because this looks like a game of soccer. There is such grace in the game of soccer. It makes me cry. So
they'll
easy.
Think you're weird, but they won't think you're as weird as dead relatives saying hi.
Yes.
The surprising bit is that he's also going to tell Daniel. And this is surprising because Daniel is obviously not part of the duo, but, and Daniel, of course, is seemingly going to play this smarter than Jenny in that he's going to really like, be like, oh, show me. He doesn't just ask like, what does it look like? Oh, like what you'd see on TV. Oh, great. He's like, well, show me what this idol is. And luckily Mike knows exactly where it is.
It was inside of the road.
except it's not there anymore. He's lost the idol.
When I found it, I buried it quick because I didn't want to get caught. And now I can't find it. I can't lose the idol. And what do I do? I don't remember even the phrase right now.
It has to do with soccer. That's all I know. Go ahead.
In the preview, he's saying he lost it again. Mike!
What?
How did you find it in the first place, dude?
At this point,
just looking at the Y trees.
Yeah. And then Daniel's like, that. Like, there's literally 400 ways to just go for a fork in the road. At this point, he should have put it back because clearly he can't hold on to it. It's worthless. I love his accent, just the way, just that, what is it, Hoboken, that's the fire department. So that New Jersey accent is just, it makes him so like endearing. But I literally had the thought when he was burying it, I was like, I really hope he remembers where that is. I don't know why I had that thought, but boom.
I also liked Daniel's commentary, because this is a new twist to him. He hasn't seen season 41. His commentary on this new idol and how it is obtained.
I like this twist. This is a fun.
Yeah, great. But it's on
this
me.
This was a Jeff Probst had a good idea. Sir.
Jeff Probst had a good idea.
Yeah.
And the way he says it, Like he's surprised.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, that is like one of many little ways that like the super fans on this season are like messing with Jeff. but I thought that was like, it was like breaking the fourth wall a tiny bit. It's like going into the production of it all. But I thought that was I liked him saying that.
Yeah. And so Daniel goes to Chanel with this information. Chanel now has all the information. Daniel has advised Mike to not say his phrase so as to not expose himself. And his ultimate plan here is that it never gets activated at all, which is definitely an interesting one. And one we'll probably talk in a little bit more detail about when we talk about Daniel, and his rating here, but, definitely an interesting plan, and, we'll see how it goes.
Here's my theory. Also, I think that Daniel knows exactly where Mike put it again. Daniel takes it because he said he has one of two options, vote him out or never have it, have the saying be said. And so if he takes it, I don't know why I'm talking with this pen. If he takes it, and then Mike just thinks he lost again, right? Oh, can't find it. That's it. Then they vote him out, and now Daniel has it.
That was my first thought. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think it's in the rules they're allowed to hide an idol from somebody that owns it, but at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me. Over on the, what is it? The Taku tribe. We hear more from Jonathan Omer, about their relationship. And again, we're going to sort of lay the strategic layout here for this tribe. It seems like Jonathan, Omer and Lindsay are the sort of the core three. And then on the outside of that is, Marianne and Mariah. Marianne being a little bit closer than Mariah. But we got a great description from Omer here.
Jonathan is my meat shield and I'm his brain shield.
Adorable.
I'm his brain shield. And this is how Jonathan describes it.
Together we make like the perfect human.
The perfect human.
Yeah. When Jonathan looks in Omer's eyes, he knows that he trusts him.
Yeah. So that's basically the layout there. Definitely interesting to me that they focused heavily on the Jonathan Omer relationship and kind of breezed past Jonathan talking about his relationship with Lindsay, who he seems also very close to, but we're seeing very little of it. So, probably something to note, as we move forward in the season.
Right. Cause I think at some point he's going to have to prioritize one over the other because there will be a point when they have different interests.
It wouldn't surprise me if like they get swapped away from each other or something and like, for whatever reason, there's just not much to that relationship at the end of the day.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Boy Meets World back in the day?
I like vaguely like here or there, like I could, I know about like Corey and Topanga. And okay. Those are the two names I know.
For people out there listening, I feel like Jonathan looks just like Sean Hunter, which is Corey's best friend. Like I cannot unsee it. Once I was like, oh my gosh, they look just like, just in the face. Don't have similar hair, but for some reason it feels like they look alike to me. I wonder what
it's other people. It's so funny you say that because I was watching the episode and I was like, this guy looks like Commander Shepard from the Mass Effect games. And then somebody else said, oh, he looks like Liev Schreiber to me. I was like, oh, he really does look like Liev Schreiber as well. Like, this guy just looks like people.
Yeah.
There are one of those faces.
One of those faces.
So we get to the immunity. The immunity challenge is fun. It's the blindfold one. Everyone always gets injured doing this. Luckily, it didn't seem to have any major injuries, although Daniel had some more commentary.
You've got to protect the balls, Troy.
Gotta protect those balls. Marianne also had some commentary.
Shizzle sticks.
Shizzle sticks.
I almost feel like that's harder to say than like just going ahead and cussing.
I mean, definitely.
I thought it was funny at the beginning of this challenge that, you know, everyone's yelling. There's chaos.
Yep.
And Jeff's like, they're talking. I'm talking. Yes, Jeff.
I've got you covered. I've got you covered, Asia.
I'm talking. Yeah, right, the right, players right, are right, talking.
It's like, yes. You always do.
That was a very like little brother thing to do of Jeff to be yes. like, and you're trying to concentrate and I'm talking and I am still talking and you're trying to concentrate.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
So we see that the Taku tribe is going to lose the immunity, and they say that it's between Marianne and Mariah. And we see that Jonathan says that because of the shot in the dark, you have to lie to both of the people to make sure they're not going to play it.
You have to look at both of these women in the eyes and go, I am not going to vote you out. I'm not voting for you.
I know.
Look at me. I'm serious.
I'm serious.
Look at me. I got to implement this.
So it's between Mariah and Marianne. The argument is that Marianne is, they like her more. They've sort of bonded with her more. But Mariah is potentially a more solid and loyal member of the tribe. This sort of like, the, you know, motherly figure who is just going to stick with her alliance and won't do anything too wacky. Whereas Marianne, full of energy, young, ambitious, probably, could theoretically, you know, do something, wild and just kind of like, be like, ah, I'm going to go over here, shizzle sticks.
Yeah, she's like doing the Disney Channel logo. She's acting like she's in a horror movie. I like the way that Omer put it, though. He was like, Marianne brings life to the tribe, which honestly, she does. Like, otherwise, they'd just be, you know. And the fact that Marianne and Mariah are so different in personality, it's like, I feel like that's what it comes down to because their loyalty hasn't been tested yet. So I saw that they were saying, oh, Mariah will be more loyal. They don't know that, you know, so it's exactly. hard to go off of that.
Yeah. But I mean, Marianne does, you know, when at Tribal, she's talking about, you know, talking about like thinking things through, and she describes it as. So, you know, you might want to be a little careful, but I think, I mean, if I'm making this decision, I don't think that I can vote Marianne out here. I don't care how not loyal she might be.
I wouldn't have been able to vote Mariah out either. Like, we hear her story with her brother. And, you know, just like, oh my. And then the fact that she wants to bury the necklace that she has his picture on while she's out there. You know, that's just such a hard. I wouldn't have had the heart to vote either one of them out. I would have ended up voting out Lindsay.
Yeah, it really reminded me of was it Tina from Exile Island, who she had lost, I think maybe like her son or something recently when she had come out to the island. She was like the first person voted off of that tribe. It brought me back to this situation. It's like such a rough place to be in, to be mourning somebody and grieving. Yes. And she said like coming to Survivor was the first opportunity for like take a breath because she said be strong for her kids. It's heartbreaking. But trying to also play the very stressful social game on top of that must be so difficult. And it's not surprising that, you know, she probably had some trouble. You know, being included in what was happening. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's not super surprising here, but I do love that she tried it with the shot in the dark, but didn't quite land.
Yeah. Well, is it going to land for anyone this season?
I love that it's been played twice in two episodes because the last season they were not playing it and they were being real dummies. But this season they're going for it, and I appreciate that. I think if they keep playing it, at some point it's going to land, right? Like it's got to. So hopefully we do. Especially like there's been some focus on it. I feel like we've got to see it land at some point,
right?
But Marianne's just like, don't send me off to Zach yet. Yeah. My perfect man. God came down and he gave me Zach.
Right. You know, since I do podcasts about people barely knowing each other and getting married, let's, you know, if she does go out in the next few weeks, just get her over to Ponderosa, get them married real quick, and then I can talk about it.
Boom. Easy.
Her dream white man.
Man, Marianne is, what did she say exactly? I don't have the clip. She said something along the lines of like, he's like exactly what I want from a white boy.
Yeah, or something exactly. Like that. She said, Oh man. Yeah. She said, Zach is like every type of white guy she's had a crush on.
But she has 100% rejection rate, which is atrocious. What are you doing?
It was like people went from like laughing, ha ha ha, and then she says that, and they're like, oh, that's kind of aw.
She's still young. She's still young.
She is. Yes.
I think at that age, like, what is the rejection? Like, how many people have you really tried at that point? Probably like two, right?
Shoot, at this age, at 29.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So that was the episode. Let's talk about the ratings. What we do here is we rate all of the players from 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. And, still at this point in the season, it's probably more about the rankings than the ratings themselves. We'll go in order of, we'll go tribe by tribe here, as we talk about them. And I will still bring up the photos of these players, as we talk through them because I barely remember their names, at this point. So. Let's start with our tribe that went to tribal, Taku, and we'll start from the bottom. Obviously, Mariah, the one to be voted out this week. You know, I will say again, like, very understandable that she's in this spot. I love that she played the shot in the dark and she didn't get blindsided here. This is a tough spot being on a tribe of five people. They lost, and the only reason they lost is because, like, they couldn't have Jonathan carry them in that in a physical challenge because it wasn't physical enough.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, you know, it just seemed like she was not really, you know, meant for the game here this season. It just she just wasn't fitting in the way that she needed to for whatever reason. You know, I don't want to be overly harsh on her here. I feel like you know, a 3 is fine as the person voted out here. I don't think she like really tanked her own game. She just happened to not fit in with these people.
Right. And to say season is accurate, because I tried to think like, okay, maybe if she started on a different tribe, things would have been
even
different.
Just a bigger tribe, I think, could have made a huge difference, right? Like, there are definitely people who get voted out of a small tribe that probably would have been like shoo-ins to the merge if they just had been on a bigger tribe with more room to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a 3 is fair, because it's not that she did anything wrong. I know she was pretty hard about herself on last week's episode in the immunity challenge, but this time it was just like, okay, you had Jonathan doing his Batman voice during the immunity challenge, but outside of that, she wasn't the weakest link. So it just came down to the stronger bonds. So, I mean, she definitely could have done more to build bonds, is probably the problem. And it just seemed like that was her temperament. She is a little bit more like low key and softer spoken. So, yeah, I was in between a 2 and a 3. But yeah, different situation. I think she would fare better. So 3.
Yeah, there you go. Which leaves us with the next person on the list. I think at this point we have to say that is going to be Marianne, here, next best. You know, I gotta be a little hard on Marianne game wise, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I do think that I think that it's her sheer likability kept her alive. It seems that they just liked her so much that they were like, all right. whatever about man about Mariah. Like she, but strategically, you know, she gets caught looking for an idol. That's not great.
Oh, I was looking for those flowers you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, and it does seem like if this tribe goes to tribal again, she's in trouble. She does get her extra vote, but that's not going to be enough. It's going to be 3-2 if that happens. You know, in the next time on, it looks like maybe she finds a thing, but that would just mean she loses her vote.
Yeah.
So it's not looking great for her on this tribe. I think that, you know, I think that overall I have to go with something like a 4 for Marianne. Just a bit below average as the person who all they need to do is lose a challenge and she's probably out. Also with a couple of, little blunders, but I also don't want it to go unrecognized that, like, again, like her sheer likability is keeping her afloat right now. And that extra vote, I think she gets credit from the previous episode for having taken that risk. I think it was a good risk to take and she now has an extra vote. So that's good for her as well. But, things are looking a little dicey. I think she needs to hope for a tribe swap soon or it could be bad stuff.
Yeah, I love Marianne. But like you said, I have to be a little hard on her. And so I'm going to go with a 3 because I see a situation where, okay, yes, obviously if they lose the next one, she's the first one to go, even with this extra vote, even taking out if she does lose her vote. So let's say she has these 2 votes. The other 3 are solid as a rock. And the closest person she has to her is Jonathan. And he's not going to put her above the other 2 that he's already like set his sights on with in terms of like his number 1, number 2. And then easy, if she makes it to the merge, everyone knows we have to get her out because she's so likable. Like and it's to the point where I'm not sure if it's because of her age, she's not able to tone that down. Like she's not able to like, okay, I'm not going to seem as likable. She's just who she is. She is herself 100% of the time. And I think, you know, if she were able to recognize the people found her so likable, I don't even think with that. I think she's just naturally so likable, even at tribal. Jeff, stop to just listen to her. And just like, okay, I'm just going to listen.
Right? I just got comfortable.
Right. So it's just like, I just don't see a situation where she is everlasting because she's so likable. There are gamers here and there are people that are going to recognize that she needs to go. So, and then like, I mean, we see her with in a moment of panic, like she was nervous. She didn't know what to do. So yeah, not looking good.
Yeah. All right. Well, next on my list. And I would say this mostly just because we saw the least amount from her. I would put Lindsay. I think she's doing well on this tribe. I just don't know exactly like where her head is at strategically, but she's pretty well insulated. I think it's unlikely that this tribe loses another 2 immunity challenges before a swap. So I think she's probably set. She also does have that initial advantage. And she is aligned with Omer and Jonathan both, who perhaps have a more public relationship. At least that's how it was portrayed to us, but maybe that's not the case. I'm not sure. Either way, I think she's in a pretty good spot strategically. I mean, edit wise, I don't know, but, from a purely, you know, sort of position standpoint in the game, I would give her something like a 6. I feel like, she's locked into her tribe. That's great. And she's not going to be the biggest threat coming out of her tribe, or at least she shouldn't be. And she's holding on to an advantage. So I think she has all of those things going for her.
Yeah, my main concern, I do have her next on the list. But my main concern would be that, you know, Jonathan's strong bond with Omer. And if there if there is a tribe swap where, you know, Jonathan is separated from Lindsay and he's with Omer, their bond is only going to get stronger. And I don't know because we haven't seen it, what Jonathan and Lindsay's bond is that can carry them forward and how she would fare with other people, because we've mainly just, I mean, we don't even see the connection between Lindsay and Omer, you know, so it makes me nervous. So I'm at a 5 for her.
Fair. Next for me, I think I have to put Omer. I think I have to put Omer, which means Jonathan is going to be on top of the tribe. For me, that's because Jonathan appears to be the center of the structure here on this alliance. He's the person in the middle between Lindsay and Omer. So he is the most insulated and has the most amount of influence, or at least that's how it was portrayed to us. Will this last is, of course, the question. You know, once he hits a swap or a merge, he's definitely going to be looking like a big target. But for now, I think he's doing very well. I think Omer is also doing very well. Again, we saw a lot more from Omer regarding his strategy and how he looks at the game. And he definitely seems like somebody that is not only in a good position, but is very capable of doing well moving forward. So I gave them both sevens, but I put Jonathan up at the top of the tribe just because that's his current position.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. I was thinking like, okay, they're both a seven, but Omer is like a low seven and Jonathan's like a high seven, because I really like what I'm seeing from Omer. I feel like he is really likable. I like the way he's thinking about the game, and I could see a situation where he's able to bond with different people outside of this tribe that can set him up really well. And I love that he's able to pull off of the, like, or let's lean into the differences the same way as Jonathan is able to lean into the differences between him and Omer. And so I think it's working really well. Yeah. What gives Jonathan the edge is definitely being the center right now. And so I'll be interested to see how that changes moving forward. Like maybe Omer and Lindsay develop a strong bond that, you know, we're not able to predict, but yeah, well right now they're doing really well.
Yeah, and something that I really liked from Jonathan is that over the course of just this one episode, I heard him refer to something along these lines multiple times, which is the amount of respect he has for different kinds of strength. And he mentions it very explicitly in the tribal council, but again, he's also talked about that, you know, scenes at camp, in confessionals, that, you know, he is a big guy, but that does not mean that other people don't have strengths of their own. He doesn't say it in a condescending way at all. He doesn't say it in a way that's like aggrandizing himself at all. It feels very much like I genuinely have a lot of respect for how smart Omer is and how, I don't know what other compliments he would give, but he talks about the different strengths that other members of the tribe have and the things that they bring to the tribe that are super valuable. And that kind of respect that is given and explained and feels genuine, I think goes a long way for your social game. And I think that it is genuine from Jonathan. He seems like he's just like that kind of guy. In addition, I think that I don't necessarily think he's doing it on purpose, but I think that it also goes a long way to help downplay his size, like contextualize that, like, yes, I'm a big guy, but that doesn't mean that I am the strongest person here. There, you know, and he's doing it in a way that is not, I think, strategically focused. So it comes off as genuine and kind of like doesn't feel like he's just like, oh, well, yeah, I'm strong, but look at these people. They're definitely threats, too. It just feels natural. And so I think that can help. I think that can help him when he does get to a swap or emerge situation and people are looking at his size, for his personality to be so unaggrandizing, I think will help him in that spot.
Oh, definitely. And in the fact that he's so different from how you would originally perceive him to be, it makes sense that, you know, he has no choice but to win people over. The fact that he is not behaving in the way that you would assume. So I think it, you know, if he continues to do that, that'll be great. You know, the fact that it's only 26 days, he doesn't have that time to build up these delusions of grandeur. So, you know, I think it will really help him. And I hope that if he is ever separated from these two, from Lindsay and Omer, that, you know, he is able to kind of build up that relationship with other people, because, you know, it could be easy. Oh, he's the minority on a tribe swap. And they're like, we have to get him out. He's huge. Right. Yeah. He doesn't have that time to show them. Look, no, I think all strengths are great.
All right, let's talk about the Ica tribe next. They came very close to seeing this tribal, and we did get a bit of strategic content from them. For the Ica tribe, I think that at the bottom of the tribe, I would still probably have to go with Tori on this one. Although it's difficult to know exactly where things are going to stand. It seems as though at the, I mean, Tori's edit is certainly an edit. I'll tell you that. but I'm trying not to look at the edit as well, but just based on how people are seeing Tori, how Tori seems to be interacting with people, it seems as though she's kind of in for a tough road, that she's kind of the de facto target on this tribe, except for this alternative Drea plan. I think that, you know, spoilers, Drea is also at the bottom of this tribe, because I think it's basically, if they ever went to tribal, the edit would be, which of Drea or Tori is going to leave? Mm-hmm. And so between the two of them, Drea does have an extra vote, and she does have an alliance with Rox and Romeo, and is not the sort of the default person at the bottom. And potentially, like, you know, it seems like Drea has maybe messed up a bit with Swati, but, you know, we've seen Tori mess up a few times already. So for Tori, I have her at around a 4. And I think for Drea, I also have to go with a 4. Tori more as a general 4 in her position. Drea as it seems like she messed up in this episode. And that has caused her score to drop. But I would put Tori at the bottom and then Drea right above her.
Yeah, so I do agree with Tori at the bottom because, yeah, situation, they go to tribal. She's definitely on the chopping block. And, you know, just she doesn't know how to respond to things. so it's kind of like, can she read the room? I'm not too sure. Because, yeah, we are getting an edit. So it's just like, okay, is, you know, our perception, reality of what's happening out there. You know, I did think that there was something to the fact that Drea felt like she could share that she had an extra vote. But then it's like, if it was only Tori, maybe she wouldn't have. You know, yeah. Maybe if it was just because it was Swati, let's do a women's thing, the numbers. Okay. So I do think Tori's on the bottom. And I did give her, you gave her a 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I gave her a 4 as well. But then it was so hard because I felt like I couldn't say that Drea was on the bottom. I just feel like she's, or next up, I feel like she's, mm-hmm. It's not her own gameplay. It's the, I don't know. I guess it's the same for Drea is so strong. And then Marianne is so likable. And it's like, it's that, that's who they are. And it's like, Drea can't even downplay her strength. She was like dragging her tribe once it was time to run to the end in the immunity challenge. I was like, they're blindfolded, slow down. And so, yeah, I feel like she's not able to minimize her strength. And it's showing through because clearly Swati easily pegged that she's a threat. And so you have a point. I guess I kind of talked myself into into Drea being next. But I'll give her a 5.
Yeah. Okay. So then it's kind of tough, but I think that, I think Rox and Romeo for me benefit from being in a spot where, we didn't see much from them, but ultimately, it's tough. It's tough to know. Cause if the Women's Alliance comes through, then Rox and Romeo are at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's possible that it comes through and it's the Swati thing was misdirection. But what that means for me is that at the end of the day, Swati is the one making the decision and should be the safest. So I think I have to put, Rox next. I think that he might be in the next, it might be Romeo, because I was remembering the, so here's my theory, right? Before I, mm-hmm. to help explain this. Drea approaches Tori and Swati with this idea of a women's alliance. I've got an extra vote. Swati says to us, Drea's too good. She's got an extra vote. I want her gone. We see her pitch that to Tori. But that's a very, like, that's Kyle Moore kind of reasoning, you mm-hmm. know, like what, you want to work with me, but you're way too strong. Why would I want to, like, it's day like three. Yeah. Right. Like, you don't like, that doesn't seem right to me. What seems right to me is that she only would feel comfortable feeling like, oh, Dre is a big threat, if she felt like she had the backing of the guys, right? Mm-hmm. That she was in with them enough that she could reject this idea of a women's alliance, knock out Drea. Now she's got the guys and she's got Tori. And she's not going to be in a locked in, deadlocked position where it's two guys versus two women. It's going to be her and the two guys against Tori. And, you know, she feels good enough with them to be in that spot. We saw in the first episode that she had bonded and made a connection with Roxroy. And that's part of why the young person alliance fell apart in the first place, because she had kind of flipped on them to be mm-hmm. with, theoretically, Rox and his group. So my theory is that Swathi is like, hey, I'm working with Rox first. And Drea is approaching me with this like women's alliance, but she probably doesn't feel great about Tori. And she certainly doesn't. But Tori's not a big threat. Drea is a threat. She's got an extra vote. So she's probably going to Rox with this and being like, hey, let's, you know, get everyone together, take out Drea, big threat. We still have four people. If we have to send somebody else home next, it'll be Tori. And so that's my theory. And because of that, I feel like she's probably the safest and she's probably the one making the calls right now in terms of who goes next, at least if this goes through, which we're not sure if it will. So for that reason, mm-hmm. I think I'm putting her at the top. I'm putting Roxroy second, Romeo third, and then Drea and Tori. And then I would probably do Rox at six if he's in this. Oh, man, it's tough though. Maybe a five, mm-hmm. Just because, again, there's so much uncertainty here.
Yeah.
In terms of, is that actually going to happen, or was it misdirection? This women's alliance thing will actually come through. They gave us enough. I'm going to give Rox a six. I'm going to give Romeo a six. I'm going to give Swathi a six. They're all sixes, mm-hmm. but it's going to be Swathi on top, followed by Rox, and then Romeo. That's how I feel.
Yeah, that like a Big Brother Canada moose. That's how you feel.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. So I feel similarly in regards to, if the Women's Alliance does come through, then Rox and Romeo are at the bottom, right? So that I see Drea, Rox, Roy, and Romeo as all fives, because either way you swing it, then the other is in trouble. So they are in danger in some capacity, depending on what happens.
And I think that's fair.
Yeah, and I think Swathi is leaning on the last vote, the fact that she was able to go to Roxroy and kind of say, like, yeah, I think Zach should go. But I do see her in a position where no matter how it shapes up right now, she's not first or second to be considered to be voted out. And so I think she is the safest. The only, like, by a smidge, maybe Romeo, because I think even if it came down to Romeo and Roxroy, they would go Roxroy. So I think Swathi is a six.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think probably the primary difference here is that I'm feeling a little more confident that the Women's Alliance is probably not coming together, but it definitely mm-hmm. could. Right. So I feel that reservation there.
Maybe Swathi thinks after that immunity challenge. I mean, even Tori kind of gave Drea some credit. Like, look, you hold the idol because it was your voice that got us there. So maybe they'll give her a little bit more credit rather than thinking like she's so strong, we have to get her out. Maybe they think she's so strong, we need her.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, we saw last season, you know, we cut to the tribe. I don't remember the name of the tribe, the one that never lost an immunity challenge. Mm-hmm. And it was like every week they had a new target and a new like plan. So it could be one of those things too, where it's like that was genuine if they had lost this immunity challenge, but by the mm-hmm. next one, things have shifted. So
we will
see. Let's talk about Vati. I feel like we got some. Vati was the tribe we knew the least about last episode. I feel like we learned a little bit at least here, but maybe not a ton.
You got some more Chanel.
definitely got more Chanel. Very pleased with the amount of Chanel I got here. I feel very happy about it. She talked about how she is not into nature, and who would have guessed that she would have become the provider on the tribe, and then right. she gets some juicy information later. I'm into it. So, let's start from the top here then. I think at the top of Vati, I have to have Daniel. I think last week I was saying that Daniel was, I had to be a little bit down on Daniel because of the injury. We saw nothing from the injury in this episode. Mm-hmm. And what we did see was a few very good things. One, Mike trusts him enough to tell him information that he is then two going to use against Mike if he has to in a pretty clever way. And three, using to bond with Chanel more. And it puts him and Chanel basically in charge of the tribe on top. If they control a block of three votes, even if Mike is not, doesn't have a vote, that means if Mike is with Jenny and they're with Mike, then that means that they are probably the three that will control the votes, which leaves Lydia and Hi on the bottom of the tribe, yes. Theoretically. So I would put Daniel here at the top of the tribe for this. It was a very good episode for him, I thought. And so I'm going to give him I'll give him a 7. I'll give him a 7. I can't quite say he's locked in at an 8 yet.
Yeah, I think what would take him to an 8 is seeing how he continues to use this information, because this initial reaction, great. I also agree. Daniel is at the top of this tribe. I give him a 7 as well. I think that the fact that Mike was able to trust him enough to tell him this information, and the fact that Daniel didn't just take it like Jenny did. Jenny was able to get the information. Great, right? But she did nothing with it that we saw so far. The fact that Daniel was able to take it, weaponize it, tell Chanel, knows that he can trust Chanel with this information, then he's in a good position. I think that we're going to, I like that we're seeing him implement what he loves about the game rather than just like, oh, I'm such a fan. Achilles agrees that this that Daniel is at the top.
Yes.
That's a 7 right there.
That's a 7. A 7 right there. Next is a little tricky, but I do think I have to go with my girl Chanel here. Yeah. I think that her position with Daniel, the fact that Daniel shared all of the information, he seemed to hold back nothing. She is getting all the benefits of his relationship with Mike. I don't know what her relationships are, so I don't know how reliant she is on Daniel's relationships, but she should be with him. I mean, this could very well be the core power of this tribe. Now, the only hesitation is that I don't know what their relationship is with Jenny. Even
you would
assume that if they're with Mike, then they've got Jenny, and that voting block should be solid, and that Lydia and Hi are on the bottom. But we don't know that for sure quite yet. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we have enough information that I would also give Chanel a 7 here. I think that she's, assuming that everything we like about Daniel is correct, then Chanel should also be in a very good spot. And the fact that they're working so closely together strategically, I think that they could be a very, very dangerous duo moving forward. I feel very good about them in the game. So, that's where I'm going to put Chanel.
Yeah. I love this duo. They seem like two very smart players who are genuinely genuinely wanting to help each other progress, right? They're not thinking, oh, why did Mike feel, Chanel's like, why did Mike feel comfortable enough telling you? She's like, no. I'm gonna use the fact that he's comfortable enough telling Daniel this information, and that's how we move forward. We're gonna continue to allow that to happen because that's helping us. Because I love the way that Daniel approached this. He said, "Look, that he found it, but I want to see how it benefits you and I." I will give Chanel credit for it. when High was going through like his breakdown, Chanel and Daniel were there to comfort him. And then even with the crab, Chanel was with Jenny. So I'm like, do they have a relationship that we aren't aware of? Like, they were walking together. They were struggling with the leaf to pick up the crab together. So that really could be something. So she has Jenny, Daniel has Mike. They could be in a very powerful position. So, but since they both have these relationships, and only because, you know, it's being shaped by what we've seen so far, that's why I have Daniel at the top. But I will say Chanel is also a seven.
Yeah. And I would not be surprised if the reality of the situation is that they're much higher, that they were like eights or nines, and that they are truly in the power position of the tribe, and that like they could easily choose, and they might. They could, it would not surprise me at all if they had great relationships with High and Lydia, and High and Lydia felt like, yeah, we're with Chanel and Daniel. They also have great relationships with Mike and Jenny, and basically they run this tribe. And they have a stranglehold on it, but we don't know enough to know for sure if that's the case at this point. So, I think we have to be a little more conservative with the rating, but I definitely like what we're seeing from them.
I mean, with Chanel to cook that crab, I mean, that looked like she was at like a seafood restaurant and had cooked it up in the back.
I was watching live on Twitch and I saw the crab, and I literally said out loud, like, can you imagine seeing something like that crawling on the ground and being like, yeah, I'm going to eat that.
It
was disgusting. But then once it was cooked, I was like, that does look good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even High had to get some.
Yeah. Good, but I feel bad.
Right. Good, but guilty.
So this is tricky, but I think, because again, for all we know, Chanel and Daniel, you know, now, especially now that Mike has found the idol, will side with High and Lydia and vote out Jenny and Mike, right? Like, that could definitely be where it goes. But for lack of anything else, we have seen a connection to with Mike and Daniel. Now, Daniel did talk about potentially voting Mike out, but only because of the idol. And I'm not sure that that actually would be the right move for him, although maybe it's an indication of where his true loyalties lie. Again, it's tough to say, but I think I have to choose the Jenny Mike pair over the Lydia High pair for now, just because we have seen that strategic interaction between them and the, what appears to be the, you know, the deciders of this vote in the tribe, as well as the fact that they now have knowledge of the idol, and how things are going to work, whereas High and Lydia do not. So for that reason, I'm going to put Jenny next. And that's because she didn't lose an idol. No, she doesn't have the idol, but she knows where it is. She's been informed, and she will benefit from the connection that Mike and Daniel have if they have the thing that we think they do. And if these four are going to run the tribe, then she should benefit from that. Well, knowing where the idol is, knowing where the other idols will be once she hears those phrases, as well as the fact that she has not lost her own vote, which is a benefit for her over Mike. So for those reasons, I'm going to go. It's really, for me, it's like, do I really feel confident that Chanel and Daniel will stick with Jenny and Mike? If so, I would give her a six. If I'm not confident, I have to go down to a five. And if I'm being honest, I'm not that confident. So I think I have to go down to a five for Jenny. I just don't know where, you know, where Chanel and Daniel will go. That's assuming they even are in charge of the tribe at this point. But just the fact that Daniel is so against Mike getting a full idol is enough to make me wary of, like, I just don't know where this is going to go. So I'm going to give her a five.
Gotcha. Yeah, I actually had Mike next and Jenny below Mike, only because Mike kind of has an idol. And even if he can't keep track of it, and I know that Daniel has toyed with voting him out, I think that Daniel and Chanel will get to a point where they're like, this guy can't even keep track of an idol he found. Like, do we really want to vote him out? Like, we could use him for now.
Brain shields.
Right. Exactly. So it's just like, I just feel like the fact that he had the he was able to find it initially, right? So he may be able to find something else at some point. I'm glad that he went looking for it. And he is, I mean, he does provide some strength. But even though I do have him and him above Jenny, I did give them both fives because I do see them, like you said, in a better position than Lydia and Hai. I do see a situation where if they go to tribal, even in the next two times, I don't think it will be Mike or Jenny, depending on how things play out, I guess, next week. But I think that they're very middle ground, strategic chops, you know, that are displaying one way or another. Like, they're not messing up, well, besides losing an idol. But that can almost, that could be just like, silly Mike. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, for Jenny, I do have her as a five.
Yes, I also have Mike at a five. You know, if for finding an idol, that's great. It's not an idol yet, though, which is not great.
True.
It's also potentially put a target on his back, and it's potentially, and it's taken away his vote. Mm-hmm. And he lost it. So really, I mean, I would almost go down to a four, really. But again, this potential, the fact that he's with Daniel and Chanel, if that is the case, and it's a big assumption to make, but I have nothing else to go off of. Then he should be okay. All of this uncertainty leads me to a five. And if I'm being honest, it does not feel fair to give Lydia or Hai, fours. I kind of think they're at the bottom, but I don't have enough certainty to say that they are. So I think I also have to give them fives. But I would place them in my list, in my like organization of certainty. I would place them below the Mike and Jenny pair, especially because Mike and Jenny do have a couple of advantages in the sense that they know where the idol is and all of that. They have more information. But I think that balances out with the fact that Daniel talked about targeting Mike and all of that. So I think Lydia and Hai, they are technically at the bottom of this list, but they're all the same rating here at a five. For me, between Lydia and Hai, I have no idea how I would even rank. We saw Lydia was given the task of calling out at the challenge. Maybe that's an indication that they trust her and feel good about her.
We
also saw Chanel and Daniel talking and comforting Hai when he was upset about the vegan thing, which could theoretically be an indication that they feel close to him enough to do that, or they could have just been being nice. Like, it's so hard to know between the two of them. I guess I would go like, what do you think?
I did Hai then Lydia only because Hai has this advantage, which was luck of the draw. Yes.
I forgot about that.
Purely luck of the, you know, like Lydia could have been the one that ran and then she would have it. So, you know, and not that it's worth anything right now, but at least he has that, you know, and maybe he's, you know, I know he's was going, like all we saw of him was his challenge as a vegan. And so maybe he did have more conversations that we didn't see. And, you know, maybe they won't, this tribe. Look, they have six people. They get the choice of who to sit out at this point. And so they're sending forth their best. They're eating crab. They're not malnourished. It could be a situation where we don't even have to worry about them going to tribal until there's a tribe swap. Then we can see what happens with Hai and Lydia at that point. But yeah, right now for this tribe, I'm thinking Hai and then Lydia at the bottom.
I think that makes sense. I also think it makes sense that this tribe has a higher average rating than the others because they do have a numbers advantage right now.
Yeah.
And they like the winner is probably more likely to come from this tribe than any other tribe at this point in time. So, I think that all tracks here. So,
yeah.
That's what we got. Those are the ratings.
There it is. We did it.
So much guesswork, but it's always fun. It's always fun to try and just in one level, it terrifies me when I look at something like Lydia versus Hai when we saw like zero strategic content from either of them.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it excites me. I'm like, yeah. Let's do it. Let's make a guess.
Right. Oh, I know. And it's just like the people that are mystery. I just want to know so much more. Like Jenny, like, girl, what are you doing? Like, I want to know, like, who do you like? You know, who don't you like? So, yeah, it is exciting to get to guess and just kind of see what's happening. And guess what's happening, because it could be a completely different story, especially when, you know, you go into the next week, you're like, wow, because no one was thinking Daniel's at the top of this tribe last week. And then this week, you know, things change. So it's funny how it's good thing this isn't an actual stock watch yet, because it would be very volatile.
I mean, that's the part of the potential excitement if we ever get it running, right? Anything else you wanted to bring up about this week's Survivor?
I don't know. It was really good. I just love seeing Marianne's personality come through, shine through, really. I was really nervous. I thought that was going to be it. And so I was like, even though I hated losing Mariah, I will say I'm so glad they all spelled her name correctly. I just think that with such a unique name, they probably talked about it. Like, just
that. Well, that's the thing. I think this should be one of those things that, like, every Survivor player is told and agrees to. Everybody should, when they're introduced, be like, this is my name and this is how you spell it.
Yes.
Because you can't ask during the game.
Yeah.
You can't be like, Mariah, I swear to you, I am definitely.
You have to look at both of these women in the eyes and go, I am not going to vote you out.
Not going to vote you out.
I'm not voting for you.
I know.
Look at me. I'm serious.
Serious. But how do you spell your name?
That's Mary.
Completely, completely side related. Not related at all. Just, it would be great if I knew. Such a beautiful name. How do you spell it?
Right. You know, my name is A-Y-S-H-A. What is yours? T-A-R.
Is it I-N? Y-N? Right. E-N? I'm just curious.
Just curious. I was just looking out in the ocean, was just wondering. So that was funny. And then the fact that, speaking of name spellings, when we got to see Omar vote and we saw M-A-R-Y. And I was like, are they about to show his whole vote? No. They could have showed the A.
When they went M-A-R, I was like, oh, that's funny. We're going to say like the first three letters. And then it was like, nope, more. You get like a full four letters of this name. I was like, wow. Yeah. Look at that. It is just like that.
Right. Good episode. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good episode. All right. That's what we have for you. It's what a beautiful game Big Brother is.
There is such grace.
Survivor is. Why did I say Big Brother? I messed it up, everyone. Wrap it up. Send us home. We're not bringing the smarts anymore. We're not a perfect human.
You were just already doing your plugs. You were just already thinking, like, telling the people what you've been up to.
Yeah. we record this too. I could edit it out, but I'm look, I'm honest with you. I'm definitely not editing anything from this podcast. Look at me. I'm serious. All right. That's what we have for you this week. Hopefully you enjoyed this. I'm really enjoying these fun sized podcasts. This is a little bit more of a bigger podcast, but much less than it was last season. It was like 3 hours long. Hopefully you're enjoying it as well, because I am. Make sure you check out my Big Brother coverage. Tune in next week for another Survivor Stock Watch podcast. Check out the Taryn Show with Tyson. Should be coming out very soon. Tyson joined me for the Taryn Show, talk about his life, pickleball, all kinds of fun stuff. So make sure you tune in for that. And check out the Raised by Wolves coverage I'm doing on Post Show Recaps. I talked with Rob and Chappelle on Nothing But Netflix about the Adam Project. And
you were hard on it, Taryn.
I feel like I was not hard on it. I feel like I was more frustrated with Rob and Chappelle than I was with the movie itself. All right. So, if you want to hear my frustrations, you can listen to that podcast. You can also find me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. Asia, where can people find you?
Yeah. So, well, one more thing on the Adam Project. I literally finished the movie and was like, oh, I love that movie. It was so great. And my brother was like, it was a 6. I was like, what? And that's when I learned what people thought about it. But just with no opinions, just me watching it, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You know what? I'm very happy for you. I think that's wonderful.
Thanks. But y'all can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. That's A-Y-S-H-A Like A-S-I-A. You can subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed, where I talk about Love is Blind with Mary Kukowski and Married at First Sight with Jason Reed. We've kind of wrapped up season 2 of Love is Blind, but we are continuing to talk about Married at First Sight. We're in the middle of the season, so definitely go subscribe if you want to hear about strangers getting married to one another. I also joined My Gloom, Liana, and Mary on the Survivor B&B. So we had a great time. We put some categories. You know, there were some fun answers. Some, you know, we were getting creative. We had a good time with it. And then I think I'll be joining you for the live feed update for Big Brother Canada this weekend. So looking forward to that.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what kind of is happening on the Big Brother feeds this weekend. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight or whenever you're watching/listening to this, and I will see you next time.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taryn will update for Survivor.